It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take it, tap it ahead for Nudibara, out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky, over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. It is Thursday, May 21st, 2020, and it's my official duty to welcome you into episode 143 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Back from furlough week, back in the Jardy minivan, parked safely in the Jardy garage. And there's that old saying, I can't remember what newspaper it was for. Honestly, it might have been the Toledo Blade growing up, but I remember them saying that if you miss a week, you miss a lot. Well, I definitely have felt that way these last few days, catching back up after my furlough week. So got a lot of things here to dive into on this podcast. And first off, Ohio State landed its first commitment in the class of 2022 with a commitment from Bowen Hardman. I will have later here in the podcast, we had an interview or teleconference on Wednesday with Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith. So have some of his thoughts on the winter sports season and what football season may or may not tell us about what the fall might or what the winter might look like. I have some a little update on Mike Conley, some news on the basketball tournament. There's a couple of Ohio State teams that will be playing or are planning to be playing in TBT this year. So I'm going to get into some of that. And I've even got a couple more little news and notes at the end of the podcast. So there's a lot to get into. I'm going to try to keep this one from running too long. It was a productive week away from the laptop. As weird as it feels to turn off my notifications on my phone and to not be on Twitter and to just generally detach, it's still a very strange feeling. But I got a lot done. Stained my porch, which desperately needed it. First time since we moved in here 8 years ago that I've stained the porch. So it looks nice. I'm very proud of that. Getting some grass growing in the backyard. This is going to turn into a DIY podcast really quickly, I feel like, if I continue. But probably the most surprising development of my furlough week is that my wife and I have managed to get hooked on the TV show Nashville. And I'm curious if anyone out there has watched it and how they feel about it. We are early into season two. I can only watch about two or three episodes of anything once we get the kids to bed before suddenly it's midnight or 1 o'clock. And you know the little guys are going to be up at seven no matter what. So you can't binge watch a show like I probably could have back in the day. But we're slowly making our way through it. And I'm strangely hooked on it. So I'm curious if any of you out there have gotten hooked on that show or have watched that show either. We got a long way to go. So I'm like 100 episodes until we're through it. But nah, enjoying it so far. So now we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, let's talk Bowen Hardman. During this challenging time, Mike Rosati has decided that the health and safety of his employees, customers, and all of Central Ohio is more important than trying to get an edge up on the competition. Therefore, he has suspended factory operations and installs. Columbus is his home, and sometimes you have to make hard choices to protect the community. If you have questions about the status of your purchased windows, would like to talk about their window options over the phone, or just want to share a friendly story, please call 614-777-4806 and leave them a message. They're monitoring the phone and will call you back. Rosati Windows looks forward to serving you again soon. So I'm guessing I was somewhere in between my first and my second coat of stain going on my porch when Bowen Hardman made the decision to call Chris Holtmann and to issue his commitment to Ohio State for the class of 2022. Bowen, in the 24/7 sports rankings at this point, is an unranked recruit. He is a shooting guard, roughly 6'4", 160 pounds or so, from Cincinnati, Princeton. And he also held offers. Cincinnati had offered, Xavier had offered. And if you think back to the fall, I did a story on him back in October. He took an unofficial visit to Ohio State for a football game. He was there, I believe it was the season opener, the game against Cincinnati, ironically enough. And that was his third time at Ohio State. They had liked what they saw from him at Ohio State's team camp last June. So he was back on an unofficial visit then in October. And I caught up with him, or with his mother, a few days afterward, because Ohio State offered him a scholarship at that point. And some of the things that his mom said at that time really stuck with me. at that moment when I wrote that story, and I was kind of reflecting back on some of them now that he's committed. So this is what Bowen's mom, Dawn Hardman, told me after Ohio State offered. She said, "What I like most about the coaching staff is they're getting to know Bowen as a person, not what he can do on the court, but who he is as an individual off the court. And that's important to me because if I'm going to send my kid away to school, I want to make sure he's in good hands." And she said, "They're not a team to just straight out offer you a scholarship for skill alone. We've talked to Diebler, assistant coach Jake Diebler, once a week since they started recruiting him. They call him, they ask him how school's going, what he's doing in his spare time. I just like the fact that before just throwing out an offer, they got to know us as a family and as a person. They sit down and have real conversations with him, which impresses me because we've had offers from three other schools, and one of them, once they offered him, they haven't really talked to us very much." So it was impressive. Ohio State's approach to Bowen certainly left an impression when I spoke to his mother back in October. So then when you fast forward a little bit here and ask him about, you know, what it was about Ohio State. And he just said, one, he knew where he wanted to be and he didn't want to lose that kind of spot on the roster. But he said that this was a dream for him. And he said he speaks with Jake Diebler roughly every day, sometimes 30 to 40 minutes at a time. He said he talks to Chris Holtman all the time. He said it was right for him. He had no doubts that this is where he wants to be at Ohio State. It's the right place for him. So a lot of people are going to be like, wow, you did commit early. What led up to it was sitting back and just thinking about it. I've been lucky enough to get to work out in gyms with all this going on. Makes you fall in love with the game even more when you're in the gym. And I think being on those Zoom calls with Coach Holtman and all of them and being on campus 6-7 times and them calling every day, it's huge. For me, I think it was right. I knew that I wanted to get a jump ahead, get my body situated, get all the tips and pointers that I can from the coaches and what I need to do to come in and help the team win games. He described it as surreal after all that he's kind of been through and the journey that he's been down. Now, as a sophomore, he averaged 12.1 points per game. He shot 45.9% from the floor, 38.5% from three. He was 95.7% free throw shooter from the free throw line. There's not a lot in the way of 2022 rankings just yet, and I do expect him to obviously climb as the second half of his high school career goes forward. OHHoops.org ranks him as the number 4 Ohioan in his class. I think it's interesting because this does send a little bit of a message within state lines. I mean, Ohio State offered him early. They offered him after he had played as a freshman, and his numbers as a freshman, let's see, 5.8 points, 1.6 rebounds in 24 games, including two starts. And that was enough for Ohio State. They liked what they saw. They liked getting to know him as a person, and they were sold, and they offered him. They're not going to offer everybody early, but it does show you that they're finding guys that they value it within the state, and they're making efforts to lock him up early. So when you think about it now, Ohio State has two guys committed for 2021 and one guy in 2022. All three of them at this moment are all Ohioans. Kalen Etzler from Convoy, Crestview, and Michi Johnson from up near Cleveland. So they've got three Ohioans as the next wave of players coming in. And it will be interesting to see his impact on some of the other kids in the class. Sean Phillips, who's a 4-star center from the Dayton area, they're close, they're friends. Ohio State has recruited Sean. They offered them, I think, on the same weekend. I know I did a story on Sean after Ohio State offered him. Really a kind of a soft-spoken dude, but he's a 4-star center. He's a really impressive player. And Bowen also knows Kalen. The two of them spent some time together, playing together in AAU. I asked him about the relationship they had because I saw that Kalen had tweeted something to Bowen once he committed. And I asked him about like what it's like being friends with him. And he said, you know, we always joked around. He's like, man, you could always come to Ohio State with me. So having that relationship with guys that are committed and that are getting recruited, if you buy in as a team now, you're going to create greatness when you're on campus and get to play with each other. Kalen's been awesome. He's an amazing player. He's a guy that could be a really, really great player. And I think he's just now starting to realize that. Watching him play in the summer, it was like, man, I'd really love to be on the court with him. Same thing with Michi, watching videos of him. Bowen's known as a shooter. He definitely brings that to Ohio State. He's a guy that he needs to put on some weight. He needs to get a little bit stronger. Those are things that he has some time to work on. But I saw an evaluation on Rivals.com, one of their analysts, and I'm not sure who it was, but they wrote about him. I've yet to see Hardman play live, but after watching some film on him and talking to some coaches in the area, this seems like a really good pickup for Ohio State. Coaches rave about his character and personality, and he's one of the top shooters in the Midwest. I did ask him about his shooting and if he saw that as being, is that the role that you see yourself filling when you get to Ohio State? He said, yeah, I definitely see myself shooting the ball as well as coming off of ball screens and handling the ball. That's a big role that they have for me. I have great size for a guard and my shooting is really, really good and efficient. I think every team needs that in college basketball. But he said, I know I can be more than just a shooter. I can drive. I can go off the dribble. I can drive in contact. Shooting the ball is going to be a huge part of my game, but I think that can make it even stronger. I've just got to keep working on it. He did say, I meant to mention this earlier, but when I asked him about what it meant for him to receive an Ohio State offer as early as he did, he said it meant the world. I knew the staff a little bit before they offered me. They came to a lot of games, but hearing the words from Coach Holtman when we're sitting in the room on our third visit in his office, it's like, man, dreams are coming to reality. He said, I get now I have to work 10 times harder, but he said, with them offering me so early, that was a big trust thing. They know that I can be a great player and I can develop into a guy that can help their program win. He said, I was still 15. He used the word surreal, I think, on four different occasions in our roughly 15-minute interview. So he was still a week removed from the news when I spoke to him, or roughly a week removed, but he was still buzzing about it. It still clearly was meaningful to him. He was still kind of coming down from that high of feeling like he had, you know, seen a dream come true. So a really enjoyable interview with him. And I've talked to a few different people who have seen him play. And if you remember Kyle Guy play for Virginia? If you listen to Mark Titus's podcast, they always had a running bit about Kyle Guy. They'd have a good guy of the week, the bad guy of the week, and the Kyle Guy of the week. That's neither here nor there, but I've had multiple people compare him to Kyle Guy. So if you think about what he brought to that program and what kind of player he was, that's the comparison I've had thrown at me by a few different people. So something to keep in mind now as we watch Bowen continue to grow and progress in his next 2 years of high school. So switching gears here a little bit now and looking ahead to what is this season going to look like? Is there going to be a season? Will we be allowed to watch the season in person? And obviously, we don't have concrete answers on a lot of things because we just don't know what this coronavirus situation is going to look like when we get to the fall, to the winter. But we did have a teleconference with Gene Smith on Wednesday afternoon where he spent most of the time discussing, obviously, the things that are more pressing on the calendar, getting football players on campus and what the fall season will look like, when they can start opening up the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. So Ohio State is opening the Woody Hayes and then nearby the Covelli and Jennings Centers for limited voluntary workouts. It's not clear at this moment when the Schottenstein Center will be added to that mix. The NCAA Division I Council voted on Wednesday to approve voluntary athletic activities in football, men's and women's basketball to start June 1st and go through June 30th. Ohio State will start allowing players back into the Woody Hayes on the 8th. Not clear at this moment when basketball players will be allowed to return to campus or when they'll be able to start doing any sort of workouts together or in small groups. When players do report for Ohio State, and this is at this point is basically just football is what we're talking about, but Gene Smith did say they will submit to screenings that will include temperature checks and system assessments to just make sure that they don't have the virus, that the virus isn't spreading. It doesn't sound like testing is in the plans for Ohio State, at least not now. We'll see if that changes going forward. In-person events at Ohio State remain canceled through July 6th, and this is my colleague Joey Kaufman, who does a fantastic job along with Bill Rubin, it's covering the football program. This is from the story that he had on Wednesday, but it said that non-essential employees are asked to continue working remotely and only, quote, a limited number of essential academic and clinical operations are allowed to resume. So what does this mean for basketball? What does this mean for winter sports? What does this mean about the non-conference schedule? So Gene Smith said on Wednesday that basically fall sports are going to be a testing ground, but winter doesn't necessarily going to follow lockstep with whatever happens in the fall. Gene said, what we learn from having football in the facility will allow us to come up with a strategy for the other sports down the road and possibly open up other facilities down the road, but we're not going to rush it. I asked him about winter sports, and there have been some schools I've seen, I think, well, Notre Dame and Syracuse have announced plans that they will start classes like 2 weeks early, and then once Thanksgiving break comes, everybody's going home and nobody's coming back until the next semester. And that kind of presents then an interesting situation where that would be right as like non-conference basketball is going on. And frankly, some Big Ten games, because the Big Ten plays two in early December. Gene Smith said that's not anything that they've specifically discussed, and that would be a decision made by the academics of the university, not the athletic department. But I did ask, like, what sort of conversations have taken place at this point about winter sports? And Gene said, I thought about it a little bit and had some conversations with my internal team, not my AD colleagues, like around the Big Ten. But imagine we can't play football, and that's because we decided the university isn't going to open. We won't have classes on campus or whatever takes us to that decision. That doesn't mean we can't play winter sports beginning in January, because the circumstances may be different. Students might be in school for second semester rather than the first semester. It's all just guesswork at this point, honestly. I mean, trying to project where we're going to be in a couple of weeks, much less by the time we would have to start having a basketball preseason, is impossible right now. So I continue to receive feedback from people that they're not worried that much about basketball season, that there seems to be a real belief that it's going to happen and that it might not be all that much affected, if at all. I've gotten every indication that the thing that I'm most interested in is, will the battle for Atlantis take place? I mean, Ohio State's supposed to go to the Bahamas for the first time ever. And it's a trip that as soon as Chris Holtmann took the job and said these were the kinds of events that he wanted to get Ohio State into, I have been very excited to go cover that. Not just because it's in the Bahamas, but because that's an awesome event. There's some incredible basketball that gets played in that. And it's unique for Ohio State. It's something that the Buckeyes have never done before. I've gotten every indication that that is still on as scheduled. I've also heard rumblings that, like, maybe it happens, but maybe it's not in the Bahamas. Maybe it's somewhere in the United States to try to minimize some of the risks or some of the, things that could happen with sending college students to another country to go play in a tournament as this is all going on. Hopefully we're in a situation by the time we get to the fall that things look better, things are better, and we don't have to worry as much as I feel like we're worrying right now. But that's just kind of where everything stands right now. We don't have concrete answers. I don't know when we will have concrete answers, but obviously what happens with the football program here in these next couple of weeks will probably give us a better idea of where all of this is headed and where sports in general are headed. Now we take a quick break and we'll be right back with some more. So if we're looking for like live actual basketball on the calendar, we can hope for the NBA to return, but we also have the basketball tournament that's looming not too far ahead. We're roughly 2 months out from when that is scheduled to take place. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you might have your option of three different teams to cheer for this season. It's interesting. They just keep growing. Obviously, we know about Carmen's crew, the defending champions from last year, coached by Jared Sullinger, and featuring a roster that to this point looks essentially identical to the roster that won the championship last year. The only exception, really, at this point, Dallas Lauderdale looks to be on the active roster instead of as a coach, but still, that team looks largely the same. And then, if you'll recall, that team defeated Big X last year, which is a team coached by Andrew Dockich and featured Keyshawn Woods and CJ Jackson. But this year they've also added Andre Wesson to that mix. And further, Andrew Dockich is planning on being basically a player coach. He has had some knee injuries since he left Ohio State, but I did speak with him earlier this week for a story that will be in Saturday's Dispatch. Where he said he's been like as committed and diligent to getting healthy and getting his knees back to where they need to be as he basically has been at any point in his life. I mean, we're all kind of stuck in our houses. You don't have much to do. So he said he's feeling good and he really wants to give it another shot. So you could see four former Ohio State players on that team. And then the new team, Great Lakes Elite, which is put together largely by Jake Lorbach. And if you think back, Jake was a walk-on at Ohio State. And my first season on the beat, Jake was Jake's senior year. And he suffered a couple of concussions to where early in the season, they just shut it down and said, you don't have to play anymore. Let's just get, we obviously need to focus on your health. I did a big feature story on him and what he had been through. That I was really proud of. And he was a very interesting person to talk to and a guy who has really worked to build his life in the game of basketball since he graduated. He spent time at Cleveland State as an assistant or as a grad assistant. He spent some time at Team USA. He's helped at Lakewood St. Ed's, his alma mater. But he is working on putting together his own team. And it's mostly guys that he knows, like different circles that he's been in basketball, but features two former Ohio State players, two former teammates of his, Cam Williams and Mark Loving. So I do, like I said, I do have a story coming on this. It will be in Saturday's Dispatch, but it would be interesting. By all accounts, I don't believe Mark Loving played basketball last year. I've not been able to track down any sort of information about him actually having a season. Cam did play last season. He was, I forget where off the top of my head, but he did play, and I know that he played pretty well. So, well, actually, I guess that would be the last two seasons. Yeah, I mean, Cam has been playing. He was scheduled to play in TBT last year, but he ended up backing out and didn't make it. But you could see as many as three Ohio State teams taking place in this year's TBT. And by the things that I've heard, the plan is for TBT to take place. It just might not be how we're used to it being played. One possibility that I've heard is you could see, instead of it being a 64-team field and all these different sites, I've heard the possibility that's at least being considered 32 teams, one site, $1 million prize instead of a $2 million prize, because they will have to use a lot more money to keep those teams safe and sort of sequestered and do everything in one area as opposed to kind of farming it out. And obviously not making as much money because you're not going to have these different sites. But that's one possibility that I've heard floated. So keep your eyes peeled on that one. We'll see how that progresses here in the next couple of weeks, because much like we just discussed about winter sports, it's all guesswork at this point. We'll see where we are here in a couple of weeks. Assuming everybody watched The Last Dance, I enjoyed it. As a Cavs fan, it was a little bit hard for me. I grew up hating Michael Jordan. I hated those Bulls teams. I remember watching some of those games, just, you know, becoming a Utah fan and a Pacers fan and a Knicks fan, and I'm just wanting somebody to beat those teams. I did not like Michael Jordan. I thought it was a very interesting look at what made him who he is and what kind of competitor he is. That's a whole topic for a whole different podcast, but I've come up with, there were three former Buckeyes who had ties to the Bulls during the Jordan era. And I talked with Dennis Hobson, who played with the Bulls, was there for Jordan's first championship, and then part of the next season. Jim Clemens, former OSU assistant coach in the early or the mid-80s, was an assistant coach there with the Bulls for 7 years, I believe, and won several titles with them. And then I have an interview scheduled with Brad Sellers, who spent a year with Michael Jordan. And this is before they won a title, but he was a teammate there. So I'm catching up with these guys for their thoughts on what it was like to watch the documentary, how accurately it portrayed what their experiences were like, what it was like being a teammate or a coach of Michael Jordan. I've gotten some interesting thoughts from guys so far. So look for the story in Sunday's Dispatch and on Buckeye Extra. I'm excited to write that one, and it's been really great getting to catch up with some of these guys. I mentioned earlier that we spoke to Mike Conley on Wednesday. So Mike, like the rest of us, is just at home right now waiting to see when he's going to get back to work. But Mike has made a $200,000 donation that's being distributed among basically the five cities that he calls home. So the money is being distributed to the Utah Food Bank in Salt Lake City, where obviously he plays now for the Jazz, Code Crew in Memphis, Tennessee, where he played the majority of his NBA career, the Community Shelter Board and the Columbus Urban League here in Columbus, and the Indianapolis Public Schools Foundation in Indianapolis, which is obviously where he went to high school, and the New Haven Missionary Baptist Church in West Helena, Arkansas, which is where he was born, where he's from. It was really great to catch up with Mike. He lives in Columbus. Columbus is his home. The second question that he got, it was a Zoom call, which I didn't realize until I sat down to do it and realized that, like, I've been at home. I'm not gelling my hair. And I looked at myself in the camera and realized that I kind of look like a hobo. So I apologize to Mike Conley for my appearance on that Zoom call. I'm sure we've all been there at some point here as this has gone on. But he was asked about, just from one of the reporters who covers him in Utah, like, are you in Columbus right now? And he leaned back a little bit and held up his shirt so you could see it. And he's wearing a black T-shirt that had OHIO in scarlet on it. So yeah, he's in Columbus. He spoke about his love for the city, why this is his home, why he picked these different charities. I'll have a story on all this in Friday's Dispatch and on Buckeye Extra, so you can look for that. Might even be up Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening. We'll see, but look for that. as always, it's just great to catch up with Mike. One of the genuine, nicest people I've ever met in doing this job and being in this field. So that was a fun surprise sort of on Wednesday. I did not wake up knowing that I would get to talk to Mike Conley that day. And then I did. And I should have at least like made my hair look presentable. We have a new top 10 for Kendall Brown. I wrote a story about him when the whole pandemic started, but a five-star recruit who did take an official visit to Ohio State late in the season. He's listed his new top 10, which includes Ohio State, Baylor, Minnesota, Kansas, Illinois, Maryland, Marquette, Arkansas, Arizona, and Virginia. No word on when he will finalize the decision, but that's a big target there on Ohio State's board. And also one little last little note here, but Gene Brown, Ohio State freshman Gene Brown, will wear number 3 next season, and freshman Zed Key will wear number 23. So new jersey numbers for next season. Would be weird to see a number 3 that's not CJ Jackson, and most recently a 23 worn by Jaden Ladee during his lone season at Ohio State. So I will add before I get out of here, go buy the new Jason Isbell album, Reunions. I'm pretty sure I discussed it before the furlough, but I got my Dreamsicle colored vinyl from a local record shop, Spoonful Records. And I put 2 and 2 together eventually. It's Dreamsicle colored because there's a song in the album called Dreamsicle, and it's a great song. You need to listen to it. Give yourself 40 minutes and sit down and just listen to the album front to back. It's fantastic. Really, every time I listen to it, I like it a little bit more. And then it's amazing now to think here, on Friday, one of my all-time favorite bands, the Airborne Toxic Event, which is kind of not the best name for the current situation we find ourselves in, but they have their first album coming out in, I think, 6 years. A band that basically, people have assumed were just defunct, but just, man, does this band make some incredible music. And it's an album that also the lead singer, Mikel Jolet, has written a memoir about his upbringing. He was raised like in a cult. And the book and the album are both called Hollywood Park. They're released this Friday. I've only heard the one single, which I believe is called Come On Out. And it's great. Cannot wait to get new music in my hands from the Airborne Toxic Event. I actually had tickets to see them in Detroit in June, and then they're supposed to be playing Columbus in October. And then I got an email telling me that the whole tour has been rescheduled for 2021. And now I'll be seeing the Airborne Toxic Event next May, twice in 5 days. They're playing like Columbus on the 2nd and Detroit on like the 7th or something like that. So it's going to be a fun week. I'm looking forward to that because it's going to be a long time before I get to see a concert again, which is a shame. But I hope everyone's safe. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Thank you to everyone who has taken the time to say nice things and to leave some nice comments. They're very, very much appreciated. I will be back with you next week. So take care of yourselves. Enjoy the time that you have with your family. Try to make the most of it. And yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. So until then, thanks.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.